Celebrating Women is a campaign that took over Twitter in 2017, highlighting the achievements of 757 women from 37 countries around the world. Each woman answered four questions: describing what they do in words rather than position descriptions, telling of their school-age ambitions, summarising their lives in three words, and identifying who they now hope to inspire. The campaign was the brainchild of Kirsten Ferguson, who is now acting CEO of the ABC. Kirsten joined forces with business journalist and author Catherine Fox to summarise what can be learned from the campaign in their new book, Womankind. I caught up with Kirsten and Catherine to discuss the power of social media across borders and backgrounds and the need to talk positively about women and share those messages.
I think it's been a real example of using social media for good. The Celebrating Women campaign, which had enormous reach, attracted no trolls. It's something that, you know, even Twitter themselves are wanting to understand. So somehow I and the women who were, you know, part of it created this safe place on what is so often an unsafe environment for women, and ironically was the reason I started to begin with. So I think it really gives us some lessons around using social media for good and being a positive campaign made a big difference. But when I did ask Catherine to do her profile, I mean, you're a little bit, you know, wary about this.
This is the thing, yeah. I wanted to ask about was that resistance, because some women felt a little bit like they were laying themselves bare. Mm-hmm. And I guess from a personal perspective, Catherine, you can reflect on that, about what it was that made you feel uncomfortable with it initially.
Not about highlighting my life, because I've written a lot about that. A little bit of, should I be up there? So I'm a journalist. I'm often on the other side of the microphone or the bench. Unlike some of the women who definitely had imposter syndrome, these are women doing incredibly interesting blended lives. They haven't had straightforward entries into careers or indeed into education. So they've had actually really interesting ways of navigating their lives. So some of them were reluctant because they thought, what value is my life? For me, I guess because I've always been someone who's looked at many of the barriers that are very real and continue on, harassment, but also the gender pay gap, the lack of women in leadership and so on. I just thought, well, what's this doing? And, you know, to be fair, my penny dropping moment was to understand how incredibly important women's networks and friendships and support have been for me. They have been life sustaining, life enhancing, and they've helped me immeasurably. So for me, it was a moment of thinking, wait a minute, I'm applying a bit of bias here. This is incredibly important.
On that concept of the network, Kirsten, you were resistant to this initially. Why?
I mean, I started my career in the military. So when I was 17, I went to the Australian Defence Force Academy. There was very few women there at the time. And I learnt the way to succeed was to just hope no one noticed I was female at all. And I think there's many, many women still feeling that way, thinking, you know, I just want to knuckle down. I just want to be seen for the leader that I am, not a female leader. But what I've found is, even though I was running from women's networks, I had women's networks supporting me. All of my girlfriends and the women that I was working with and the Whisper Network you hear about, all of that has been sustaining throughout my career. I just didn't identify that that's what it was. I'm so conscious now of what women do when they support each other. It's been incredibly powerful.
Also, in terms of creating a very visible platform where women can see other women in any setting succeeding, this creates that platform for people to see it. What difference does that make in terms of inspiration and achievement?
It's an interesting one, because Kate Jenkins, the Sex Discrimination Commissioner, actually said to me, think of all the pioneers, the women who've gone into areas where there were no women. And it's actually a really interesting point. Of course we need role models, and we do understand that, but gosh, there have been some brave women. So I think, yes, it's enormously important. But I think, you know, what's really affirming, and I would say the same thing in a very different way, though, with Me Too, with sharing those stories of harassment, it actually legitimises what you're going through. And I think that we sort of underestimated that. The women we profiled had these rich, wonderful lives, and it's a multiplier effect. As one would tell a story, then another one would probably think, oh, I could do that too. They didn't have to be high flyers. They were people doing extraordinary, interesting things, but across all levels and across countries and classes. And the other thing that I think that we really spent a lot of time myth-busting was the whole idea that women turn into queen bee. We often hear that women, once they get a certain level of responsibility, turn on the women around them. There's certainly no data around that, and very little evidence. It's a stereotype. So some women are unpleasant, And we know that. We're human and some men are. So we've taken some time to look at that and pretty much pick that apart. Because, again, it's one of these things we cling to kind of justify the level of discrimination that still exists.
What hit you as the most striking thing that we could learn from the project?
Oh, I think the power that women have when they actually join together collectively and step up together like that. I think it's just very exciting. And I think that if we look back through history, that's what the suffragettes did. They're grassroots movements. Of course they come together with women because it's our rights we're fighting for. Now, naturally, we need our male allies. Men are still in charge, largely. We need them on board, and that's what the suffragettes did to get the vote for women. If you look through how feminism's developed over the last sort of century and a bit, that's exactly what's happened with every wave. Our networks have never gone away. That was what really resonated for me.
Something you also touch on is what organisations can do better. Just what are a few of those?
Almost every employer in Australia has a women's network. They may not even know about it, but it's there. Access it. Ask women. All this money we're spending on diversity programs, go and actually ask women how they're managing. I reckon organisations can access that and make much better use of it.
In terms of the gender pay gap, there's something about women telling each other what they earn and letting it be out on the table, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a fantastic point. Transparency. And women do that all the time, actually. And it really is about having that access to information. And so actually, it's often ignorance that means that those things kind of don't get addressed. So one of the things that we also point to is tactics for bringing that kind of thing up, which can be quite awkward. And we have often said to women who ask us about this, go in a group. Don't do that sort of stuff individually, which can leave you a little exposed and vulnerable. Again, there's some stuff we write about, which I think is really practical about raising some of those deeply embedded structural sexism and bias problems.
Catherine Fox and Kirsten Ferguson, authors of Womenkind, ending that report. Womenkind is published by Murdoch Books and is available now.